Well, good morning. I hope you're glad to be here today and to be in this very blessed land, to be sure. Well, our scripture reading today, I'm going to read two short passages from the book of 1 Corinthians. Lord willing, we will be back in Revelation next week, but today we will look a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 10 to 13, and then I'll also read two verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 16 and 17. So two just real short passages today as we get ready to prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper. And if you have that passage before you, and if you are willing and able, I do invite you to stand for the public reading of Holy Scripture. What a another great and tremendous blessing that we have a copy of God's holy and inspired Word. Well, let's listen to it. I'll read out of the New International Version. You can follow along in the one that you have, but I'll begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. And what I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul. And another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. And still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? And then from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 16 and 17. Well, let me just back up to verse 15. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. And let's take an occasion to pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you have made and set aside specifically for a day of rest for us, that we, your people, might be reminded that we are not saved by our works, but by resting in the work of your Son. We thank you for this day that you conquered death and gloriously came from the grave. And so you have set aside that we, your people, would gather together in remembrance of the glorious gospel. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that it would sanctify us through and through, and that it would prepare us as we get ready to eat of this special supper that tells us of your Son, and Lord, that instructs us that we are one. Lord, bless this time, I ask in your Son's name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, today is a very special day. It is the Lord's Day, and it is doubly special because on this Lord's Day we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, the Scriptures do not specifically prescribe how often us as believers are to celebrate the Lord's Supper. It just says that as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so it just says that we are to do it often. And different church assemblies and denominations and bodies of believers observe it in different frequencies. Some do it every week or every month or quarterly or yearly. We observe this meal every other month, which for us is a special time for us as a body of believers to rehearse the gospel as it is seen and observed in the supper and the elements of the bread and the wine. And personally, I like to incorporate the theme of the supper into the whole service and to the whole sermon, as it just kind of prepares us to get ready and to partake. I really don't like it where it's just tacked on at the end if there's no thought given to it beforehand. And so I would kind of like for the whole sermon just to kind of prepare us, kind of building up to a crescendo and preparing our hearts and minds as we get ready to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And today, in wanting to do so, I want to try and be a very, very practical. Use some examples from our everyday life right now in situations going on in our society. I want to be extremely practical and maybe a little bit personal as we get ready to partake. Because I do think we need to prepare ourselves. I have given a very unusual title to today's message. Didn't really know exactly what to call it, but I've called it COVID, Colors, and Communion. Or maybe COVID Covers, Colors, and Communion. And I picked that unusual title because the main point that I want to stress today before we partake of these elements is I want to stress unity in the body of Christ. As a church, I think we need to beware of divisions. Divisions that can so easily creep into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this meal that is before us, this very, very simple meal, this meal reminds us of oneness. There was a lot of things that this meal teaches us, but one thing that I want to stress today is that this meal reminds us of oneness, the oneness that we have in the one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Towards the end of this service, we are going to partake of this meal as believers, and we will all have the same meal. We will eat the exact same thing, in fact, in the exact same amount. And we will eat at the same time. And one of the things that this meal teaches us is that we are one. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the church of the Lord Jesus that He has called out of darkness and into His wonderful light, we are one body. We are one bread. We are one loaf. We eat of one meal. Because we are in the one body of Christ, who is our one Savior. Now the passages that I read from in the book of 1 Corinthians, a letter written from the Apostle Paul to Corinth, and I'm just kind of going to use these as just kind of a jumping off point, just to kind of get us thinking in a direction. But the context of the passage I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's about divisions in the church. Now the church of Corinth is a church, if you're familiar with this little book, is a church that had a lot of problems. But in this town, this town was full of a lot of God's people. When God sent Paul there and he says, "Hey, stay here for a while because I have many people in this town." And so this church had a lot of people, a lot of believers, and they had a lot of problems. Really, that's kind of encouraging to me because God's people and problems can go hand in hand, you know. So that just kind of, it tells me it's all right. We're just following in some footsteps. But one of the problems that this church had was an issue of divisions within the church. And one of the divisions that this church particularly had was a division over the personalities of the preachers. You might say that they all had their their favorite preacher, their favorite teacher. One said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, and another, I am of Cephas or Peter. You know, some of them really liked Paul because he was the apostle to the Gentiles, and maybe they just really liked him and the way he did it. Others really liked Apollos because Apollos was educated, and I tell you, a very articulate, kind of a highbrow kind of guy, and they just liked that highbrow kind of preacher. Others were really more favorable towards Cephas or Peter. He wasn't highbrow, he was lowbrow. He was kind of a down-to-earth man's man, the old big fisherman. So you got highbrow, you got lowbrow, and you got nobrow. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of, you a blue collar, are you a white collar, are you a no collar? Well, they had divisions over these personalities in the church. And so division became a problem in this church. As you read through this book, you get into chapter 3, and we see that these divisions were an evidence of their immaturity and their worldliness. It was just something this church had to deal with. And I wanted to read these scriptures and use it as our taking off point today, because as a church, the church that meets here at Klassen Boulevard, I tell you, we need to beware lest divisions creep into the church and attack our unity. It is something that happens. It happens over and over again. And as a church, we need to be on guard, especially before we partake of this supper. We need to be on guard of these worldly divisions that can creep into the church and attack our unity. And so again, I want to be very practical and take some examples from what is going on in our society right now, around the walls around us and where we live and everywhere in the news, and address a couple of issues that could creep in here and attack our unity, because we're fixing to take a supper that tells us we're one. And so let's, I just want to hit a couple of these very practical and maybe personal issues to you. Let us think about the issue of COVID or the covers that people wear in regard to this disease. Now, the coronavirus has thrown a wrench into how our society operates. Leaders have given mixed messages on preventative measures, and there is a debate among experts. And because of this, there are differences into how extreme one goes in taking precautions. In society, it has been reduced to a time of name-calling and shaming that has happened in our society around us when others do not quite see eye to eye on how we take our COVID precautions. Now, there was a security guard that was shot because he informed a lady she had to wear a mask coming in, and she took exception to that, and so her husband and son shot the security guard. A doctor assaulted some teens in a park because they either weren't social distancing or wearing the mask. I think there's an image on the screen. Yeah, the fights that can happen in our society over face masks. Mask or no mask? Stupid if you wear one or stupid if you don't wear one. That's just the society we live in right now. All right? I mean, people just fighting over this issue that is affecting all of us in society. And so before we take of this supper, let me just throw an application out here. The world may shame. The world may name call. The world may divide. The world may fight over face coverings, but the church should not. That's something that the world divides over those issues. The church of Jesus Christ, we can be one. And let me make an application here from a very familiar passage in James chapter 2. Because in that chapter, we are warned against favoritism and discrimination over clothes. Over coverings, over how one covers oneself when they come to church. And such discrimination and such favoritism is forbidden in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to be a respecter of persons if someone comes in with fine clothes or if someone comes in with shabby clothes. It should not make a hill of beans when we come into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by way of application, if someone comes in with a face covering or someone doesn't come in with a face covering, who cares? We are one in the body of Christ. We are not to be respecter of persons over how we cover our bodies. That is forbidden. We are not to discriminate one way or the other in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible does command that we should wear clothes, we should be covered, and we should be modest. But we should not discriminate over coverings. I just think that's just a very, very practical issue to address, or just to mention here publicly before we take of a supper that reminds us that we are one. And we need to beware lest COVID measures become a divider in the church. And you know it can. Oh, you're too extreme, or you're not going far enough. And you know, guess what? We can be different without division. It is okay for us to be different in the church of Jesus Christ. There can be unity without uniformity. We don't all have to look the same when it comes to how we cover our bodies. We are not to discriminate one way or the other, because in the church, we are one. And we can be different without any division. And so that's just one issue that I think is very practical and something that we are living out every day. Now let me move into another issue besides these fighting over face coverings or whatnot. The issue of color. Now, I for one am glad that God did not make a gray world. When He made everything and He said, "Let there be light," and with light came color and came a variety of colors and things to appreciate. God created color and variety in His created order. He made the universe. There is much diversity, but there is unity in that diversity. And I think today is a good day to remind us that God made color, and color is for appreciation. Color is not for division. But yet color is being used as a divider in our society. Is it not? I mean, seems our whole nation is astir, and we're fighting over COVID measures. We're fighting over color. And do you know that the church is a big culprit in this fight over color? Let me just say something here. That really color is not a very good descriptor of church. Let me say that there's really no such thing as a black church or a white church or a Hispanic church. There's really not the Korean church or the Filipino church or the Guatemalan church or the red, white, and blue church or whatever color we want to ascribe before church. There is the church. The church of Jesus Christ. A church made up from people from every tribe and language and people and nation, because that is who the Lord Jesus Christ came to redeem. He died on the cross for the world that includes people from every variety of nation and every variety of color. We are one people. One church, one redeemed people by the blood of the Lamb. We are one family, all blood related, one body of Christ, And the supper shows us this. The supper declares to us that we are one, that there is unity. Now, the local church should look like its local community, but we are not to be fixated on color. Because we are one, and color is for appreciation and not for division. Can we not appreciate each other in the church and appreciate our differences and yet not divide? I tell you, I think the church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to lead in this. We need to beware lest color is used as a divider in the church of Christ. And let me just say that if color is a conflict for you, then do not partake of this meal. Because this meal preaches unity in Christ. And if you can't grasp that, then this meal is not for you. Because in the body of Christ, we are one. We are one body and one people and one loaf redeemed by one Savior from every color and tribe. And you know, really, color is really not even a biblical category in Christianity or humanity. You know, really, there's really only one race, and that is the human race. The scripture says that from one man he made all nations in Acts 17:26. From one man came everybody. We're all part of the same family because we come from the same tree, goes down to the same root, to the one Father that we all share. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15 that mankind has one kind of flesh. And any of the differences between us is only skin deep. There is only one kind of flesh, one blood of mankind. Eve is the mother of all living. In fact, I think you're going to put a picture up on the screen here from a National Geographic of a couple of twins. Twin girls from the same parents. Have the same parents, grew in the same womb, born into the same family, and yet have a little distinction in the way they look. Because we are one family. Not just in a human family, but especially in the church family. We are one. And yet color is so often used as a divider. This meal that we are going to partake of in just a few minutes reminds us that we are one. Now, there are some distinctions the Bible gives for humanity. God made man male and female. Hey, there's some distinctions between male and female. Gender is a great distinction to point out. But you know, you come to this table, and you know, in Christ, there is no male or female. Because we are one in Christ. Even that distinction has to subordinate itself to the unity that we have in the Lord Jesus. The Bible talks about the distinction in ethnicity between Jew and Gentile. These two great distinctions, Jew and Gentile. But even that distinction is wiped away as that middle wall of partition is torn down. And out of the two, Christ makes one. We are one body, Jew and Gentile, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is another distinction between rich and poor, or the great distinction, those who have and those who have not. But in the church of Jesus Christ, that distinction too subordinates itself to the unity that rich and poor, male and female, Jew and Gentile, we come together as one people to the one Savior because we are one. Because in Christ there is no Jew or Gentile, or male or female, or slave or free, or rich or poor, because in Christ, we are one. And we can appreciate our distinctions, but don't divide over our distinction. Do you know the ultimate distinction and difference within humanity? It's really not between male and female and Jew and Gentile and rich or poor, but the ultimate distinction is between two great groups of people, the redeemed and the damned. That ultimately is how humanity is divided up, the redeemed and the damned. And you know the damned are unified. Boy, they get together and they can work as one, right? The damned are unified. Should not the redeemed be unified? Should not we, as one people of God who He has saved from our sins, could not we be unified? And even as the Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John 17, Father, I pray that they may be one, even as You and I are one. And this meal reminds us, we are one. And as the one redeemed people, we ought to, with one voice from all of our local churches, call out to all of the damned and say, come join us. Come be a part of the body. Come be a part of the unity that we have. We can appreciate our differences, but we are not going to divide over our differences because we have one Savior and one salvation, and we are one people. And so these little distinctions in life should not divide us. And so that's just a little thought on a couple very right now, up-to-date, going on in our society issues on COVID coverings and people dividing over and yelling at each other over color of one's skin and yelling at each other and fighting over each other over these distinctions. But it should not be so in the church. And so let me lastly think a little bit about communion. Now, communion is one of the terms used to describe this meal that we are about to take. It's communion. We fellowship with one another as we partake of this meal. And the Corinthian church extended their problems and their divisions to the supper. The problems that were going on in the church in Corinth and these divisions that were among them as they were spatting back and forth and this side and that side and whatever, they brought that to the Lord's Supper. And their communion, when they came to take of the Lord's Supper, actually became a display of their divisions instead of showing their union. Now you can read in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 17 to 34, they would come and you know, some, maybe the rich, they were getting a whole heap of food and drink. In fact, some of them were getting drunk, and some people weren't even hardly getting anything at the Lord's Supper. And there was just this division that was happening as they were partaking of the Lord's Supper. And he says, when you're doing this, you're not even really partaking of the Lord's Supper. You shouldn't even be doing it because you're not unified. And let me just read again that the second passage that I read in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17. And here it talks about communion. My NIV says participation. Some of your translations says communion. But it says, is not the cup of thanksgiving, of which we give thanks, a participation or communion in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there was one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Now here this verse tells us that when we come together for the Lord's Supper, it is communion, that we commune with the blood of Christ. We have fellowship. There's something mystical that goes on here. Not that the elements become the actual body and blood of Christ, but they do represent in such a way that we can have communion with our Savior. We commune with His body. We commune with His blood. And as we think about this and we, in our communion with Him, we are reminded that He was broken so we could be united. His body was broken so that this body could be united, so that we could be one with each other. And so this supper shows and testifies and preaches our unity. We are one loaf. We are one bread. You know, we're fixing to partake of this meal, and it is the same meal. Every believer here that's going to partake in just a minute, you're all going to get the exact same thing. In fact, even in a manufactured pre-portioned thing, we're going to do it, you know, a little different today because of our COVID measures. But it's all going to be the same. Anybody that partakes, you don't get any more than anyone else. You know, I mean, even in the amount, it's the same. Because we are one. We are unified in this. We will even eat at the same time. Why do we do that? Well, I mean, apart from that's what we're commanded in Scripture, that we're all to eat at the same time because it's teaching us something, that we are one in Christ. The same bread, the same loaf, the same amount, eaten at the same time. The supper shows us our unity and our oneness among the people of God. And so before we eat, before we take of this supper as the church meeting here at Klassen Boulevard, let me ask you, are there any divisions that need to be mended? We're fixing to eat of a supper that one of the things it teaches us is our unity and our oneness. And so examine yourself. Are there any divisions going on in your life right now that need to be mended? Are there divisions between members of the church here on how we do COVID covers? Are we fighting over face masks? If you are with someone, oh, you should wear it, or what are you doing wearing it, and it's just going back and forth, then you need to fix that before we come to this meal. Because this meal tells us that we are one. Are you fighting with people over color? And over a different color than you are, a different shade of skin? Is that bothersome to you in our society or in our church? If that is an issue for you, you got to get that settled before you come to this table. Because this is the Lord's table that speaks of His one body, and His body is not divided into red, yellow, black, or white. If these divisions exist among us, we must root them out. And this is a great time to do it before we partake of this meal that is eaten at the same time. Are there personality conflicts here? Divisions among, sometimes we rub each other the wrong way, and maybe it's preacher conflicts. Some of you like Bob and some of you like me, you know, or whatever. But what, we're not to have divisions. Because it was Christ that was crucified for us. This is His body. It's not Tim's or Bob's or whoever. We are one in Christ. And so let me just encourage you. If you are fostering a division of any kind, whether these I've mentioned or some other, then do not eat of this meal that shows our unity. Examine yourself. Make things right. If you got a division with someone, fix it now. Go out back and call them or go over, hey, we got to make this right before I sit down at this meal. Because this meal is about unity with each other as well as with our Savior. Now we are going to get ready and partake, and we are going to do things a little bit different today because of our COVID measures. We're not going to have our normal elements the way that we do, and the deacons pass them out. We have these prepackaged units that are here, and there's a few also at the back. And so here in just a moment, I'm going to read some scripture, and as I do so, you can come, whichever is nearest you, and you can have your packet ready, and then... And then I will instruct us a little bit as we get ready and partake together. But let me just say before I read here that this is the Lord's table. It is happening here at this local church, at Klassen Boulevard Baptist Church, but this table does not belong to us. It is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, if things are right between you and Him and between you and your neighbor, if you are a baptized believer, then this meal is for you. Church membership is not required. It is just membership in the body of Christ. But having said that, I do want to fence the tables in a way that says, this meal is only for believers. And if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have personal faith in Him, you have not repented of your sins, or this meal is not for you. You look at it and maybe hear the gospel that comes from you and maybe realize you have not partaken of Christ. But if you have not partaken of Christ, then do not partake of this meal. Also, maybe you are a genuine believer, but maybe there's some divisions or things that you need to take care of. If those things aren't taken care of, then don't partake of this meal either, because we are to examine ourselves before we partake of this meal. We need to be able to discern the Lord's body in this meal and what the bread means and what the drink means, and also that it is one body and the unity that we have as the church in being one loaf. And so, let's just take a moment of silence. We're just going to take a few minutes. If you got something to get right with God or a neighbor, we're just going to take a few minutes after a moment of silence, and maybe you can think and pray and maybe prepare your hearts or clean up some division, that I'm going to start reading a passage of Scripture. As I begin to read that passage of Scripture, you can just get up from where you are. You can come and you can get the elements and the locations that are closest to you. Hold them, and then I will instruct, and then we will partake as one. But let's just take a moment to get ourselves right with God and each other. Father, we thank You for this meal, caused by it to bring us closer to You and closer to each other. Amen. And you may get up and the elements if you want. See, My servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many who were appalled at Him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and His form marred beyond human likeness. So He will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of Him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before Him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him, nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their faces, and He was despised and we held Him in low esteem. Surely He took upon our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, and He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. As we get ready to partake of the bread, I remind you that he bore our own sins in his body on the tree. That his body was broken so that we could be united. United with him and also united with each other. And when he took the bread, he gave thanks. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Our Father, we thank you for sending your one and only Son, sending him born of woman, born under the law, born with a body like we have, so that he might live the life that we should have lived before you. We thank you for imputing our sin to his account and in his flesh. We thank you that he died in our place. Father, we give you praise and worship for this memorial meal, that we are reminded of your so great a love wherein you loved us. We thank you and we love you. Amen. And after the bread, he took a cup. I don't think he peeled back a layer to get it, but as we are doing. But you know, this cup reminds us of the blood of the Lord Jesus. It reminds us that, as the Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. From the beginning, it was taught, and we know the life of the creature is in the blood. That there's something supernatural and mysterious and about life that is in our blood. And God sent his Son to be like us, to have blood, life in his blood. And he spilled that blood so that we could have life and be forgiven. It was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that we were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us from our forefathers, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot or blemish. Discern the blood of the Lord in this cup. And after the supper, he took the cup and he gave it to them, and he said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Our Savior, we thank you that you drank the cup of your Father's wrath, a cup that you asked that if it was any possible way, it could be removed from you. But because of the will of the Father, you drank of that dreadful cup so that we could drink of this blessed cup. We thank you for your sacrifice on our behalf, giving your life so that we could have eternal life, breaking your body so that we could be united to your body. We thank you for the sermon that is in the supper. Might it encourage us this day, strengthen us spiritually as we go out into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, calling people from every tribe, language, people, and tongue to the oneness that we have in you. We love you and we thank you. Amen. And traditionally, we sing a fitting hymn for our message today. Blessed be the tie that binds. Stand and we will be dismissed with this. That'll work too. I'll look. Yeah.
Are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
May that song be true in your life today. Amen, and you are dismissed.